Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. ETH is reaching a two-year high and Bitcoin is edging closer to 12K again. I'm Amy here with Pat and today is Friday, August 14th, 2020. Please remember to check us out on Twitter at the DeFi Daily or online at thedefidaily.com. Thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a DeFi and digital asset management platform that does allocation monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. Okay, let's first look at the numbers. As I mentioned, Bitcoin is creeping back up. As of noon today, it had hit $11,815 and Bitcoin Cash was at $293. We're going to talk about both of those a little bit more this episode.
ETH was out there coming out strong with over 25% gains today, hitting $440. Now, you might be asking yourself, why out of all of the different coins that are out there was Ethereum on such a tear? It just so happens that the gas prices hit 200 Gwei, which, if you know anything, is about 10x what it normally is. What that means is that anyone who's doing anything on the Ethereum blockchain, from DeFi investors to Chainlink, putting their Oracle information on the blockchain, is having to buy a ton of Ethereum right now. That's what's driving the price, and I would expect it to keep on going up.
Yeah, and Chainlink is at $16 today.
Yeah, XRP is up 5%. XRP is always kind of a fun one to watch, 30 cents. They were out making some statements today about their use for all things financial system. You know, still remains to be seen what happens with them.
And we pulled those numbers from CoinMarketCap. All right, so as far as the news this week, MicroStrategy, a BI company that's publicly traded, announced that they purchased a lot of Bitcoin, a lot, like 21,000 Bitcoin. Pat, what does that mean?
Well, it's crazy that it's a BI company. I mean, of all the different things that you'd imagine, this is a old school enterprise software company buying Bitcoin as part of what I'm imagining was a decision to make a hedge against current financial situations in the overall markets. So if you're not feeling very good about the market, you can go out and start buying, you know, Bitcoin, you can buy gold, you can buy silver, you can invest in real estate, different inflationary hedges or hedges against volatility. So this is a company that by all accounts is probably a more traditional company coming out and making a very large statement that they believe in Bitcoin as a digital reserve currency. Obviously, that's what everyone is. Everyone who's a real cryptocurrency buff is waiting for the days of Bitcoin to potentially take on a major mantle as reserve currency. You know, is this a first step to that? It's hard to say. It's certainly an exciting step. It's certainly something when enterprises are picking this up. Up to this point, you look at across all the different businesses that are out there, Microsoft, IBM, let's take GE as an example. Companies aren't buying Bitcoin they aren't buying it as hedges, unless you are, in fact, an investment company. Most of the enterprises out there are buying it for toy projects. You know, you see Microsoft, they have a big group of Ethereum developers. They're going to buy Ethereum because they need to do development on the Ethereum blockchain. But are they buying it to hedge against financial situations? Absolutely not. This is sort of the turning of the tide. I think that this is a really exciting moment for crypto in general.
Yeah. And that was definitely part of their stated strategy, that they recognize that this is a good long-term way to store some cash.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. Another interesting article this week, CoinDesk had one about Nigerians using Bitcoin to bypass trade hurdles with China. What did you think of that one?
Yeah, Africa has traditionally had incredibly difficult times with different forms of monetary transfers, whether that's remittances or wiring. You know, across the third world or the underdeveloped world, you see this problem. I think I once heard a stat that wiring money to India can cost $100. And this is a place where you have, you know, villages where median income for a month is $100. So the dream for digital currency has always been to topple the hegemony of financial systems, of major banks. And part of that is certainly undercutting the prices on this. So, you know, is this believable? Absolutely. I would say this was, the article was a little bit thinly sourced. It was a couple of people doing a couple of transactions and everyone was saying how much they wanted to stay under the radar because it was borderline legal, the borderline legality of what they were actually doing. So great article by CoinDesk, but you know, who knows if this is really a watershed moment or not. I think that one of the big issues you're going to see is that even if you saw major traders using this, you're not not necessarily seen individuals or smaller businesses using cryptocurrency for this type of remittances. So it's going to be someone who's very sophisticated, someone who has access to, you know, computers and ledgers and all the different tech you need to actually hold cryptocurrency. And then obviously, you know, when you're going from something like the Nigerian dollar to the renminbi, you're jumping across a few different currencies there. So that already has a level of sophistication for how you're handling the currency. So it's exciting. We'll see if it keeps on going.
Well, yeah, hopefully it's just one of many examples of a nationless financial system. Okay, last I wanted to talk about Bitcoin Cash. I saw that a code push made news, which seemed unusual to me. Pat, tell us more.
Yeah, it's. I think it's always crazy when code pushes actually make news. And this came out that a DAA adjustment. So this is essentially the way Bitcoin works is that there's a set level of difficulty for how hard it is to mine a particular block. And the idea is that the more people are mining blocks, the harder it gets. The whole goal for Bitcoin when it first came out was that a block was going to be produced every 10 minutes. So there had to be a deterministic way for you to set an algorithm that you had to do a certain amount of work so that in 10 minutes, in approximately 10 minutes, so like averaging at 10 minutes, you know, plus or minus whatever it is, you would have a block produced. And so Bitcoin Cash obviously broke off from Bitcoin, but it kept the same basic idea. In the early days of Bitcoin Cash, when it first branched off, there was this enormous problem. Because what was happening is that people were switching back and forth between the different chains. And the amount of processing power and proof of work power going into hash power going into Bitcoin is orders of magnitude larger than what was going into Bitcoin hash. So very early on, they were already they saw this enormous influx, rush of blocks being mined. When a block is mined with Bitcoin, you are essentially creating the coin. So that is, a block being mined is an inflationary process in the Bitcoin world. So it was when they first branched off, one of the small changes they made is they had this idea for doing for how they were going to do their difficulty adjustment that was a little bit different than Bitcoin was doing. So when they did that, it wasn't perfect, and it was sort of exploited to essentially completely overmine Bitcoin Cash. So a bunch of extra coins were produced early on that should not have been. And if you look at this, if you think about it in the abstract, say, okay, there were supposed to be 21 million coins produced over the course of, you know, if it's 150 years or something like that, but every 10 minutes, there were supposed to be 50 coins, then 25 after the next epoch or 12 and a half. Way too many coins got produced during that initial period of time. So a few different proposals have been going around. There's been this other issue recently for Bitcoin Cash, which is that if you are a miner and you are operating fully, and you are being totally rational in your operations, what happens, the current difficulty algorithm is based on a moving average. So it's a 144 block moving average. And so what happens is that if there's a really, really difficult block to mine, so a block that took a ton of hash power to mine, that block ends up having a disproportionate amount of impact on the difficulty for the overall period that you're looking at, for the last 144 blocks. As soon as that really difficult to mine block drops off, the difficulty plummets because it's using a simple moving average. So what we are seeing is that essentially on about a day cadence, you would see this massive oscillation where the harder to hit blocks that had been mined while there was high hash power dropped off the SMA. A bunch of miners would move in because it was more profitable to mine Bitcoin Cash. That would then set a new, very difficult set of blocks. At some point, that new difficulty would get incorporated fully into the SMA. All those miners would move off because it became too difficult, and you were left then with a over difficulty of Bitcoin Cash. So you would see this oscillation, this heavy oscillation, and during some periods you would see a block every 10, 20 minutes. During light periods, during heavy hash periods, you'd see a ton of blocks getting mined really quickly. So there's a push by Bitcoin Cash to essentially figure out how to smooth this curve out overall. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Bitcoin Cash is obviously a protocol that is born of, I like to think of it as a protocol born from conflict. I mean, this is, they were a branch because they didn't like the way that Blockstream was kind of managing the main core. There was one item in particular, which is how they do scaling, that they hated. So Bitcoin Cash has this community that really broke off from the overall, from Bitcoin itself. They like the conflict. So of course, with this particular item, conflict is again rearing its ugly head. There's two major implementations. Well, there's a bunch of implementations of Bitcoin Cash, but the two that we care about are, in this case, the Bitcoin Cash node and ABC. The author of ABC is essentially proposing an algorithm for difficulty adjustment that more or less it smooths things over. So instead of using a simple moving average, it uses an exponential moving average for difficulty, which is okay. No one's really arguing against that. The problem is that it is actually adding what's called drift adjustment. So over time, the number of coins that's been produced is way more than was expected to have been produced by this date and time based on Satoshi's original white paper. They're calling that drift. So what this algorithm does is it actually creates a drift adjustment, which cracks that down, and it pushes the average block time up to 11 minutes for the next 6 years. This is in effect a deflationary aspect because fewer coins can be mined over the next 6 years. But it's also a kind of a slap in the face to Bitcoin Cash, which is all about how do you really quickly move as many transactions around as possible. So most Bitcoin Cash people really want, I mean, in some ways, would probably want to see the block interval decreased rather than increased. So that's the ABC solution. The other the solutions out there is Bitcoin Node, which is using something called Assert, which is just a really simple exponential moving average based on the last set of blocks. That is the change that got checked in, which is the new difficulty adjustment. Now, where it's gotten really complicated is that the ABC guys actually backed off of their demand for using what was called Grasberg, which was their difficulty adjustment algorithm. And they are, but when they backed off, what got so crazy is they backed off and then they went and added back the IFB, which was essentially a funding protocol where a percent of every single mine block was going to go to the ABC team. This obviously ticked off everybody in the entire ecosystem because there was a huge fight about this a few months ago. No one likes this idea. People want voluntary payments where if you're going to fund this, you will voluntarily give to this to the organization that's doing the best job. So it really does look like that Bitcoin Cash is headed for now. It's, you know, if you talk about Bitcoin to Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin Cash to Bitcoin SV, Satoshi's vision, and then now Bitcoin Cash to Bitcoin ABC, their third, fourth fork in as many years. It's something to watch. You know, I always like to say this is a community that really likes conflict, and conflict isn't bad. Like it's easy to say that and think that conflict's really, you know, a bad thing, but that's not true. I mean, conflict is good. Creativity comes from conflict. Ideas come from conflict. So this isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it is certainly interesting.
Yeah, very much so. All right. Well, that's it for today, Friday, August 14th. Thank you so much for listening to the DeFi Daily, and have a great weekend.